This morning, we're going to continue on sharing stories about the life of Soma, and we're also going to continue our little series on how do you get sent to a new church? How do you find a new church? And so, yeah, this morning, last Sunday, we talked about what a church is, how do you listen to the Holy Spirit, how do you pray, how do you process your desires. I gave homework. You all did it, I'm sure. Yeah, Jeff did it. No, he didn't. So now, so please do that part of the process first that we talked about last week of really listening to the things that and those questions that we offered to see like what God is doing in your heart before you do this step of the process. But we do want to move on towards it. So the big kind of question is, how do you know if a church that you visit on a Sunday is a good church? How do you know by looking at its website, oh, are they really centered on the gospel? Do they really commit their lives to the mission of God? How do you discern that? Yeah, isn't that a fun question? Have you guys asked that question before? Yeah, sweet, great. So I have just a few bits of like wisdom. Not thus says God for all things, but wisdom. Because I think it's helpful to note that it wasn't until about 500 years ago that people actually chose what church to go to. So for the vast majority of Christian history, people became Christians and became part of the church, like one unified this word Catholic, which means universal church. If you became a Christian in Ephesus, you were part of the Church of Ephesus. If you became a Christian in London, you were part of the Church of London in this small little, at that point, really gross town of terrible sewer systems and things like that. But that's just what you did. It wasn't really until the Reformation where there came to exist multiple churches and you were like, do I want to be like Catholic or Protestant? Do I want to hear Martin Luther preach or do I want to go take the Eucharist over here? And then even then, the governments around you kind of decided, you know, this is what we do here. This is what we do in Bavaria. We go to Lutheran churches. And so this whole phenomenon is actually quite new. The Catholics at the time of the Reformation said, hey, if you guys split off and make your own thing, you're just going to keep splitting up over and over again to tiny, tiny little pieces. And they were right. They were right. Zwingli was right. You can look him up later. And so that kind of leads us in this really weird place. But the reason I tell you all of that story is that you already do belong to the holy, unified, everlasting, always and forever church. Like that's your status. Forever and for always. The end of time, John says, there's not a temple, there's not a building, it just is the church living, breathing in the presence of God. And so what you're trying to discern is not, oh, how will I still be part of the church or something like that? What you're trying to discern is, where is God calling me to employ my service and my energy to be like and to be known and to be discipled? Like, where am I trying to discern that? So there's a few earthly wisdom bits. So because that's the church wasn't back in the day like church shopping, 3 Timothy, this is how you search for a church. That didn't exist. So this is not, you know, thus says God. So I just want that to be clear. Is that clear with everybody? Because later in life, you're going to come to me and you're like, that advice was terrible. This is my, I'm off the hook liability part. So one is you should go to church on Sundays. That's step one. You should go to a church on Sundays. It's an important rhythm. It does reveal a lot about a church and its culture. It's similar to kind of going on a date, though. Everyone's on their best behavior on a date or like in a job interview. So if you're in a job interview and the guy you're interviewing with is being a little weird, that's them on their best behavior. Right? So you got to be like, if that's them on their best behavior, what's underneath that, right? Same with on a date. You're like, you know, she does this thing that's like, she's really mean to me. Well, it's like, that's them on their best behavior. So it's kind of like that, but it's still super important in that going to a church on Sunday, you get a sense of the church's personality, a sense of what it's passionate about. You'll obviously see things in a personal experience kind of way of, this is my experience of worship. This was my experience from the preaching of the gospel to my heart and my mind. You'll experience, this is how people treated me and those sorts of things. But there's a few other things that I'd like you to be intentional about as you go to a church on Sunday. One is to think, how are they reading the scriptures? Like, how do they read the scriptures? Do they read it with some, excitement or joy or do they not read it? Those sorts of things. How do they talk about Jesus? How do they sing about Jesus? How do they pray towards Jesus? And that's a big kind of intentional thing to be looking out for, which will reveal, is this a church where the gospel's really important? The next kind of thing to think about is look for grace and generosity and how people use their time and the relational space. Do they get to know each other? Do they talk? Is there laughter? Is there, those sorts of things. And that will reveal a little bit about the community aspect of a church. And then you want to also think about your neighbor and your friend visiting this church. Do you think that they've been considered in how the church is operating? Because we all have friends who, it doesn't matter what church they come to on a Sunday, they're going to be like, this is weird and terrible. So, obviously. But just thinking through, would my neighbor or friend be thought of or considered in this church gathering? Or is the expectation that this is just a church for people who frozen chosen, they're all in. Tiffany reminded me of that the other day. So that's one, going to church on Sundays. The next is talk to leaders. Sundays only show you so much. You also want to get to know the leaders, hear what their vision is for the church, get a sense of what their heart is for the church that they serve. So an elder or a deacon or a staff member. And see if, reach out to them and see if you could take them to coffee and buy them a coffee and get to know them. It's even better to kind of notice, does anyone from that group try to reach out to you to see if, you want to have coffee? Or are they making themselves available for that? But if they're not, that's fine. Some people don't do that. Some people are introverted. It's okay. They're not I want to go to coffee all the time. That's totally all great. But still, try to reach out to them. And when you meet with them, ask them questions about the church, but also share parts of your story. Not your whole story or anything like that, but just parts of what you're passionate about. And as you do, these are things to notice when you talk to a leader of a church. Do they have joy in the church and the people? Or do they just this church is terrible, right? It's kind of I don't know. As a man, sometimes I'm in these situations where people think it's cool to just be my wife is terrible. You're wow, I have zero respect for you, right? It's similar. Does the pastor no, I love this church. Do they have a heart for and joy for the church? Also, do they listen to you well? Are they listening to you when you're sharing your story? Are they responding? Are they saying stuff that actually makes sense in response to what you just said? Do they have healthy rhythms in their own life? Does the church care for them in any way? Also, be on the lookout for this as you talk to leaders. A church will not have everything. Church is not going to have a counseling center, killer worship service, a solution for wars in the Middle East, a solution for homelessness, a solution for, how to be gospel-centered vegetarian, and also how to be gospel-centered meat smoker. A church will not have everything. I know I'm being exaggerating, but beware of the church and the leader that thinks that they do. So if you're meeting with the leader of a church, we have a solution for whatever. And you're I'm really passionate about this. We have that. We have it all. We have anything you could think of. Beware of that, because every church has weakness and limitations. And so the thing for you to be discerning is this leader aware of that, in a place of acceptance of that, and will you be in a place of acceptance and submission to that as well? So then the third is talk to ordinary people. So talking to leaders is great. It's their life. They think about it all the time. But the people who are just part of the church actually reveal the most about what a church is. The people who are just experiencing it. That's how you find out the real ethos, the real culture, the real values of a church. Because leaders, we can say, you know, we're a church and we exist and we know the mission statement and we recite it. But what you say about the church is really what Soma has always been about, right? And so you want to think about that. You know, as you hang out with them, see, like, are they growing? Are they being challenged? Listen for how they talk about Jesus. Is he the hero or is the church the hero? Listen to how they talk about its people. Lastly, listen to how they talk about people who don't believe and who aren't in the church. What's their posture towards those people? And that's a, I think, yeah, they're all important, but that's a really, I think that's probably the little bit that people ignore often. They're like, I'm going to meet with the pastor. I'm going to go to church on Sundays. Now I know. But it's really talking to ordinary people that you figure it all out. And then lastly, you need to join in. And there's this, you know, it wouldn't be a Brad chat if it wasn't about, if there was no quote from Ernest Hemingway or Dostoevsky. So here you go. And I've said this one many, many times, but what are you going to do? Hemingway wrote, how do you know if you can trust a man? And he says, you trust them. How can you know if you can trust? So I think especially in this day and age, there's probably, even like within myself too, like finding a church. Oh, you know, I know leaders. I know churches. They're all messed up. How can I trust these people? And there is a point at which you do just have to, and this is Hemingway's talking about a foxhole in World War I, but it's similar, World War III. We get into the foxhole of life, and how do you know if you can trust the person next to you? How do you know you can trust this church? Well, there's really no amount of pre-work you can do. It's just like when you're standing there giving your vows on your wedding day, you just have to trust. And you have to trust, too, that all of the mess that comes afterwards is also God's intention and God's goodness, too. In the same way, after marriage, you're like, wow, they're really crazy. Wow, I'm really crazy. I thought we, you know, sussed this all out through the dating process. And we did premarital counseling. And now I'm seeing this whole other person. That's like the gift of marriage is what happens after the wedding. The same is true in a church. It requires you to join in, and that does require lots of courage. So after visiting churches and praying about the options and listening to people, the really important part is to listen to God and say, God, where do you want me to jump in and just trust? Use your desires, use your dreams from the previous chat that I gave on this, and then you have to take a leap. And it's a leap of courage. It's a leap of, you know, great resolve. But also, I do want to remind you of what Eugene Peterson did say, not last time, but I quoted him. He was like, if it doesn't work after 6 months, go to the next closest church. And there is some, like, good truth there. Joining a church, like, it's great to join a church and be there for 20, 30 years. I don't think it's healthy practice. There might be something wrong with you if every 6 months you're changing churches, but it's also you're not making a death vow. And if someone is like wanting you to make a death vow to be part of their church, I don't even know what color flag that is, right? And that's because it's black. Good, Casey. It's a black flag. Take the leap, understand that God will lead you. Also understand that it might take time, but we'll talk more next week about that. I've used 15 of my 10 minutes. So I know these conversations are so weird, yeah, but I'm gonna pray for y'all and then we're gonna share some Soma stories. Jesus, we thank you for the universal global church that exists. Spirit, we ask you, lead us to the local expressions of your church, where we're to serve, where we're to be discipled, where we're to be stretched. And God, I pray that yeah, we will help each other in that, that we will encourage one another towards that. We are dependent on your Spirit way beyond the wisdom that was shared. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now we are going to share stories from the life of Soma, which is Jessica, not Holtgrew, Salzman, and David Holtgrew are going to come and share stories today. Yeah, you can take that one. All
right. This side, that side?
Oh, you said, yeah, right here. This little half circle, a little crescent. Oh, sorry. I will share what I just shared is like a blog post, but also I did make a list of churches you can start with. So there you go. There's like 12? I don't know. Five, something, somewhere between 5 and 12. Awesome. Oh, y'all don't have your mics.
Test.
Great. Sweet. That's good. Jessica.
Hi.
David. Oh, maybe I turned.
Hello.
Oh, there it is. So yeah, we want to keep sharing stories about Soma and remembering what God has done. And it's last week was really great, starting with the early people, but one of the beautiful things about Soma is God keeps bringing new people and new seasons, and so excited to have you guys share. So yeah, I guess the first question is, how did you end up in Soma, and what were you like, what was Soma like on your first impressions as you came in? Yeah. You want to go first, Jessica?
I can go first. Yeah. I'm older than you, I guess. older Soma. Yeah. I'm like mid Soma. So mid. Yeah, we joined Soma in 2018. A little bit about me. I grew up in a really conservative, pretty legalistic church background. And that was just my upbringing. And we had found a church in D.C. That had some pretty, like, Brad was talking about things maybe not to do for a church. They were like, if you want to join our community, you have to, like, pledge your membership. And then you have to get baptized a certain way. So it was, like, a lot of, like, doors to walk through. So there were some red flags there. So all that to say, I had been burned by a couple churches growing up. And so I was really nervous looking for churches in L.A. And I had moved here out here by myself while Thomas finished up a job in D.C. And so we would go visit churches on the weekend. And at the time, Soma was meeting in Farragut Elementary. And we pull up the first time we ever went to visit, and we were 15 minutes late. And I was like, we can't go in. We're 15 minutes late. We're going to have to sit in the front. Like, all of my, like, fears from, like, childhood came, and so we drove home. So our first time at Soma, we did not go in. Jokes on us, Soma doesn't really start till like, 10:15, which we did not know at the time. So much grace. So the first time we actually went into Soma, the first person that greeted us was Evie. I don't even know if she remembers, but we walked in. She's like, hi, welcome. I was like, you're so nice. You're so nice. And like everyone was just like chilling and talking. And I was like, how are you? Like regular conversation. She's like, you know, like I'm okay. Not great today, but you know what? That's okay. And I was like, oh, they're really real. Here. Like, I really appreciated that, and I felt, like, really safe. And so we came back. What was the second question?
What were you like?
What was I like? Yeah, I was a pretty anxious girl back then. As you could tell.
Aren't we all?
Boy, for me.
Yeah. No. How did you end up in Soma?
Yeah, so.
What were you like?
This story kind of starts back in 2015. Sarah lived in LA for a 2-month period, and she heard about Soma. And she had always intended to come attend SOMA, but never did before moving back to Colorado. Fast forward 6 years to 2021, and Sarah and I are now married and moving to Culver City. And Sarah was in her third trimester with William, which is something. And then we wanted to get plugged in at a church right away. And so Sarah remembered SOMA, and we looked it up, and we were delighted. It was a 10 to 15 minute walk from our house. And so we decided that very first Sunday that we would come attend SOMA. And the kind of funny thing is, I think I had this preconceived notion that churches in LA must be like a certain size, and so there'd be hundreds of people. So we're walking to SOMA that morning, and Sarah goes, "Are you nervous?" And I'm kind of like, "Well, yeah, I mean, trying out a new church, but I'd be way more nervous if it was something like 50 to 100 people where they knew we were like the new people." And Sarah stopped and was like, "That is the size of this church." I almost turned us around, but thankfully we kept coming. We were meeting here. Another funny part is we tried to be early, and we ended up 15 minutes late because we could not find Musician's Choice. We were like, "Wait, is it at the dealership or is it in the strip mall?" And then we saw Matt walking, and I don't know if it was Matt and Shannon, but we saw just like a human start walking down an alleyway, which you're like, normal people probably don't go down that alley. So we followed him, and we actually got to church that day. But who was I then, and who was, I think, Sarah? Like, where were we coming from? We were moving to Culver City in Sarah's third trimester, away from family. I had gone back to grad school because I wanted to transition careers, so I was in between my first and second year of grad school. I did not have a job. We were moving from a home that we had just bought a couple years before in Colorado and renting here, and it was the second half of COVID, so there was so much uncertainty and probably fear and just sifting sand beneath our feet as we were moving to LA, and then we came to SOMA, and it was like solid ground. There was so much peace, so much comfort. Felt like God's faithfulness and his goodness, that how we sang this morning, was chasing after us. And to complete the story, the Woos actually asked us to go to lunch afterwards. And it was just like, the people were really real here, as you said. And during lunch, Matt was amazing. He's like, "Hey, so here's other churches in the area. Do you think you want to go try other churches out?" And I was kind of like taken aback. Like, there was no like twisting of arm, like, "Hey, you should come back next Sunday. Like, it'll be even better. Like, we were kind of off today. Like, we'll really do it next Sunday." It was just like, "Here are other churches if you want to try them." And Sarah and I looked at each other and we said, "No, SOMA is where we're going to be."
That's so awesome. I'm going to go off the script of the question. So how do you think God has met you in your time in this church? Like, what do you see that God's done in your life in this church?
I'm a lot like Evie, so I need a second to think about that. I prepared for the questions on the script.
I'll ask those questions, too. Yeah, yeah.
Can you say the question again?
Yeah, like, how do you think God has met you in your time here at SOMA? Or how have you think he's changed you?
I think one of the things about SOMA that's so unique is you are loved and accepted for who you are and what you bring through the door. And there's a lot of freedom in that. And for me personally, I think God has shown me a ton of grace in this community and brought me to new depths in relationship with him and with others through MC, DNA, just everything about SOMA, and he has released a need for me to feel, to perform, or to like have, I love the sermon you talked about once, like the metrics of the kingdom are different, and so kind of just shedding all of those preconceived notions, like you have to be something, you have to say something perfectly to like have good community, and that's not true. And yeah, he released that in me, and I'm still growing and learning what that is, but
I think for me, I was talking to Thomas the other day, and I was like, you know, I think that something that's really beautiful about Soma is that it feels like this glimpse of, like, heaven. And that sounds dramatic, but, like, I think this community and, like, the comfort and the support and the, like, true living in community and the messiness of it, like, it allows us to be our, like, vulnerable and, like, our human selves. And I think coming into Soma, I was, like, very afraid of that and, like, very much like, I gotta do it all on my own. Like, and Thomas and I have learned probably the hard way that, like, the people in this community are there for us. Just like they are an extension of God's arms, like surrounding us and hugging us. And I have like felt that in really real ways. And so I think he's like made me softer and like made me more vulnerable to like lean on others, and share that burden of like living life with like other people.
Yeah. I mean, both those things are just such incredible things. Yeah, that God does, and that this church was part of that is really incredible. What's your favorite memory from your time in Soma?
Ooh, I'll
back
go.
On script.
I'll go. Yeah, I'm prepared. all the babies. I think, yeah. Maybe in, like, our community, like, our MC that we were a part of, the first baby that was welcomed was Smolsky's, so Thaddeus. And I had never held a baby that was, like, 24 hours old. And just the, like, you are our family, come hold our baby. And, like, we welcome you into this with us. I think, like, that I will, like, all the babies that were welcomed in, like, I will always remember that. It's not, but it wasn't just like, oh, let me hold your baby. It was like, it was like meal trains. Like, I, even before I had a baby, like, getting to bring food to people and like support people that way, I think is some of my favorite memories of like, I distinctly remember Casey walking down the stairs with baby spit up on his shirt and like hair everywhere and looked so tired. And he was just like, thank you so much for these salads. And I was like, yeah, like those memories like will stick with me forever, forever. But it's just like, yeah, it's that vulnerability of like, we are at our lowest point right now. And like, you are serving us and loving us. And like, they extended that to us when we had a child too. So.
That's awesome. Your favorite memory is Casey.
Well,
spit up on.
That's just like the epitome of
most memorable
broken
memory.
Down.
The most memorable memory. That was just a normal Tuesday for Casey.
Yeah. I came to learn that, but. All the love.
How about you, Dave?
That's a really good one. Yeah, definitely the babies is wonderful. I think in addition to serving and loving each other so well, Soma celebrates so well. And I just want to call that out. I think it's so fun, like MCs, DNAs, the gathering where we have food trucks. That is a favorite part of Soma. But my favorite memory, to answer the direct question, will tie with today. I think it was the day that William was dedicated. And so now today's tied. For favorite, Luke was dedicated. But on that day, you were so gracious to like have William dedicated on the day apart from all the other babies, which was so kind of you. But we had both of our parents in town that day. All of our siblings and then nieces and nephews were able to attend. And so for all of you to be there and all of our family for his dedication and to see everybody who's coming around us to support us, was pretty incredible. And then we did the Soma celebration and we had our MC come and we did a combined celebration because I graduated from grad school and William's dedication. So that was just like such a wonderful memory for me.
Yeah, that was really wonderful. And that was no big deal. Just to
good.
Add, yeah. No, that's so wonderful. I do remember that one. I don't remember yours. That's good. I love that both of those memories are not, there was this sermon that was so great. No. And I also, I think that it's wonderful that favorite memory wasn't, oh, and like this was the discussion we had. I just think that they're life things. And I think that that's really beautiful because it reveals the true nature of the church. And I think that's so wonderful. Looking back over all these years, being part of this church, what's one thing that you're just really confident God has done in this church? Small questions.
If you're ready, you can go first.
Yeah, I kind of touched on this a little earlier, but to dive in a little deeper, this community just loves and accepts everybody that comes through the doors for who they are. And there's freedom in that, in the ability to be vulnerable, to build relationships with others, to build relationships with God more deeply. And I think one of the things also that God has done and we've experienced so much as a family is Jesus talked about it at the Last Supper in John 13, like a new commandment is, you know, love each other as I have loved you. And by this, like, people will know that you're my disciples. And you all are Jesus people, and you love each other, and you've loved us in that way. And that is so incredible. And to your point, like meal trains, I think the second week after we had met y'all, we had a meal train planned for William before he was born. And it's just like incredible, and that love. And so, that.
That's so good.
I'll build off you a little bit. I think when I was thinking about this question, the word that came to mind was just like grace. I think that God has like covered his grace over this church, but also I think in like really tangible ways, thinking about conversations and MC, about sermons, shout out, that like, we were sitting there, we had like a whole session on conflict once, and I was like, it was such a weird thing to like sit with like 15 people and talk about like how we deal with conflict and like maybe some things that were coming up that were causing conflict, and like learning that tangible working out of God's grace of like maybe something was unfair or maybe there was a hurt that like wasn't deserved, but that like God gave us free grace. And like we get the opportunity to like give that to each other. And I think like sitting there in those community groups and like working that out as a community was, yeah, something that I think God continued to do throughout. I think it sounds like all the stories of Soma.
That's such a great legacy to be known for grace and welcoming, hospitable to anybody. I want to just read from Colossians chapter 3 as an encouragement for us as we end our story time. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." And I think that what you were saying, Jessica, about the touch of heaven is very relevant, that we set our minds on the things above and we get to experience them here on earth as we set our minds on Christ and his kingdom. And I do know this because I've read a lot of them and seen a lot of church pitches. They're called something more spiritual, but it's basically, I want to start this church, here's my pitch. And all of them, in some way, are like, I want to see the kingdom of God come in this one place, you know. And it's such a great gift to just hear these little moments of like, oh, the grace of God to give us a taste of the kingdom right here. And so the encouragement is that we would all continue to seek that which is above, which is Christ, who is our life. And so,